Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. John 20, 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." This is the word of the Lord.
So during September, we've been exploring the heartbeat of WCF's updated vision statement. So let's say it again together. WCF is a faith community where people from all backgrounds are formed together by Jesus, together for others. Good. Now, we've talked about how God's wide welcome informs our wide welcome to people from all backgrounds, all traditions, all storylines. We've talked about the goal is to be formed by Jesus, how he's shaping us from the inside out, how we get to know God, how we get to know ourselves, how we get to know others. That's the goal. And we do that together. We're formed together, not just by sitting in the same pews, but by being woven into the fabric of each other's lives, where we are known and where we know others' strengths and vulnerabilities, hopes and dashed hopes. And today we land on that final phrase that gives meaning to everything else: for others. We're formed by Jesus together for others. So here's the big idea I want you to carry home. God forms us in Christ so that we can participate in his redemptive work in the world. God forms us in Christ so that we can participate in his redemptive work in the world. Formation is never just about us. It always flows outward. Like the Potomac River can't help but run into the Chesapeake Bay. Formation always flows outward. So this isn't just a nice motto for WCF. We're not trying to create a catchy brand or marketing slogan. This is our calling. The very reason God has called and planted us here in this neighborhood, why we're in this city, in this region, for this season. Let me say this as clearly as I can. If your faith stops with you, it's not Christian faith yet. If your faith stops with you, it's just you and God, it's not Christian faith yet. Here's the challenge. Many of us have been taught a version of spirituality that is far too small. We've been sold a faith that fits neatly into this category of personal preference. It's like choosing vanilla over chocolate ice cream. And for us at WCF, I think this sometimes creeps into our multi-denominational character that we value so much here. We have our preferred traditions. We might enjoy the diversity of other traditions amongst us, but this enjoyment, this preference, sometimes comes at the expense of actually joining Jesus in his work in the world. And of course, we can be grateful for WCF, but sometimes that comes at not actually being together for others. See, modern Christianity often becomes one of three things. First, it becomes private and individualized. It's just Jesus and me, this personal relationship that stays personal. And it's expressed in when we say things like, well, this is just how I like to connect with God. or it can become therapeutic. Spirituality becomes a spiritual health, self-help program. Jesus becomes my life coach, Jesus becomes my cheerleader, or my on-call therapist. Of course, Jesus helps us with our anxiety. Of course, Jesus heals us from our traumas and brings peace to our relationships and to our marriages. And we praise God for that. But Jesus is also Lord and Savior of all creation. And he's calling his people into that same mission with him. And sometimes we can swing to this other extreme, this extreme of triumphalism, where mission becomes exporting our culture, exporting our politics, our theology, or our ideology. And so it makes everyone look like us. And we see this on both sides of the political spectrum. MAGA evangelists wanting a Christian, quote, nation, or progressive Christians demanding liberation for all the oppressed now on their terms. The danger is the same. We confuse our tribe's agenda with God's kingdom. Faith can shrink into something private. It's just Jesus and me. Or it can become therapeutic, where Jesus is my life coach. Or it can swing triumphalistic. Our ideology is exported as the Christian mission. But here's what scriptures show us. Formation in Christ is always for others. Always. From Abraham, blessed to be a blessing, to Israel, called to be a light to the nations, to Jesus saying, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. The moment we encounter the living Jesus, we are swept up into that mission. And if that's not happening in our life, it's worth asking, what kind of Jesus am I actually following? If you don't feel swept up into that mission of Jesus, then I invite you to consider, what kind of Jesus am I following? So by the end of today, I hope you'll be able to finish the sentence for yourself. Because Jesus is forming me, I will blank for blank. Because Jesus is forming me, I will blank for blank. The world doesn't need more self-absorbed Christians. It needs more Christ-shaped servants. The world doesn't need more self-absorbed Christians. It needs more Christ-shaped servants. Here's the beautiful truth. God's vision for his people is so much bigger and so much better than what we've settled for. So let's listen to what God calls us to and through the course of Scripture and how these passages paint the story that we're invited to join. Martha read the prophet Micah for us earlier today. Micah gives us God's job description for his people. He says, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. Do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. Micah, if you're not familiar, proclaims these words to God's people at a time when the northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen to the Assyrian Empire. And the southern kingdom of Judah was just barely holding it together. Israel's peak influence as the dominating empire in the region, it was fading. It's back in the rearview mirror. And under all this uncertainty, the wealthy elites were exploiting the poor. There were land grabs, there was corruption, there's predatory lending that stripped families of their assets. All that was happening when Micah proclaims these words from God. And meanwhile, the religious acts of God's people, it looked vibrant. People were going to the temple. There was worship happening. There were sacrifices happening, but was all empty action because that religious activity wasn't paired and matched with justice and righteousness in their land. So it's in that environment that Micah says, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly before your God. Notice what Micah doesn't talk about. He doesn't talk about right doctrine. He doesn't talk about proper worship styles. It's about justice, mercy, and humility lived out in the world. It's how their faith was lived out for others. Even in the midst and in spite of political upheaval. And let's be careful here. Every political side wants to claim God for their agenda. Have you noticed that Christians of all political inclinations really love this verse? You'll find it on their bumper stickers. You'll find it on their fridges. You'll find it on the bottom of their email signatures. And notice, isn't it convenient how we always believe that we're the ones most faithfully living out this verse with the things that we care about? We like to believe that we're the ones standing on the right side of history and that everyone else who doesn't agree with us is not. But Micah's word here isn't partisan. It's covenantal. It's a promise that God is inviting God's people into. That's what God's people, all of God's people, actually are meant to look like and to do. Jesus picks up this thread and makes it personal. Right after his resurrection, he tells his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." How was Jesus sent by the Father? To grasp onto power? To take over the Roman Empire? To build an empire? To make a Christian nation? No. To heal the sick? To forgive the guilty? To serve the forgotten? And he says over and over again when he does those things, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. This, when I do these things, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. He says over and over and over again, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And that's the mission description for the church, for Jesus' followers. Paul unpacks further what it looks like in his letter to the Corinthian church. He says, "For Christ's love compels us. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." And he calls us as ambassadors, or maybe in this town, foreign service officers. We are called ambassadors, foreign service officers, whatever you call it. They exist for the state, a sake of the country they represent. You and I exist for the sake of Christ's kingdom, not our own comfort. You and I exist for the sake of Christ's kingdom, not for our own comfort. Jesus gives this mission its everyday shape with these vivid images in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." See, salt doesn't season itself. Light doesn't shine for its own sake. Both exist for others and make the surroundings better. The prophets say it, Jesus lives it, Paul unpacks it, and then Revelation shows us where it's all headed to. John's vision in Revelation describes how God is making all things new. He's healing the nations. He's wiping away every tear. Our outward life today is meant to be a preview of that ultimate renewal. How we live today, joining in with God, is a preview of that ultimate renewal. Are you beginning to see it? God's story always bends outward. God's story always bends outward. The love of God never stops with us. It flows through us for others. God's story always bends outward. So, what does being for others actually look like? Sometimes I think it looks very, very ordinary. Being for others is comforting your child in the middle of the night when you're exhausted and you don't want to get up and be sleepless and tired the next day. Sometimes it's really listening and not just waiting for your turn to talk when your coworker is sharing their stresses. Sometimes it's being a considerate neighbor here in the neighborhood of the church by not parking in the handicapped parking spots when you come to church. Many of you live this out through values-based work too. Teachers, social workers, medicine, nonprofit advocacy, policy making, and these are all ways that we can be for others. And it's a privilege to get paid for work that aligns with your faith. but it's a privilege. Being for others goes deeper than career choices. It goes deeper than individual acts of kindness, because you don't need to follow Jesus to do good work or to be nice. But here's what it makes it distinctly Christian. It's not kindness, it's reconciliation. It's love across difference. It's community together for others. And we show the world what it looks like when people from all different backgrounds choose to love and choose to serve others in Jesus' name, but especially loving and serving those that you wouldn't otherwise connect with naturally. And some of this is already happening at WCF in different ways. Last month, we chose to expand our ice cream party from just being a kids event to a neighborhood, hey, we're here event, turning strangers into new friends. Rather than an event where we hold it in our building and invite others in, or even on our patio and invite, hoping that people who walk by will come up the stairs and join this group of strangers sitting on the patio, where we were down on the street level, making a crowd, blocking people with the lineup to the ice cream truck, and saying, we're here, we care, come and enjoy a treat on us. It's a little different. It's for others. We also host a community-supported agriculture, CSA, distribution here on Thursdays. And it's more than just sharing our building because there's space and letting people come in. I want you to think about it. It's an opportunity to connect neighbors who live around us to land that God created, to the farmers who provide our food, and to connect what we eat with all that God has provided. These aren't publicity stunts. They're meant to be previews of the kingdom of God. Sometimes being for others is more than that, though. It means stepping into more costly spaces, sacrificing. I spoke with someone in our congregation who wishes to remain anonymous last month, and she told me of their house cleaner who lost work when the ICE enforcement ramped up. And not only that, she found out her brother had been detained by ICE as he left his Northwest DC apartment, and the only reason they found out was because they reviewed video to see that they grabbed him as he walked out of his apartment. And because of all this that was going on, this WCF community member, she told her cleaner, ask all of your clients to keep paying you, even though you can't go and clean for them. And that really challenged me. I didn't think of that. That's a very tangible way of being for others. And so this past week, you know, our cleaner came, and Julie and I talked to them about how things were going. I never actually asked about their status. But I found out that she had lost work because people were afraid, and they were afraid of going out and traveling about in D.C., but also that her brother-in-law had been detained. And so Julie and I decided, you know, this time we're going to pay you 3.5 times more than we normally pay you to support you because we know you've lost work. Being for others means stepping into the world of others, giving, sacrificing. There's another opportunity that's coming around the corner for us. It just happened this week. I found out about it. On October 18th, we're partnering with Beloved Church to host a blood drive right here at the building. So this is one practical way that we can join them. It's a simple way to be for others in a very tangible way. Life for life. Blood, literally, blood and sweat for others. See, when this church shows up in love, the neighborhood should breathe a sigh of relief, not a sigh of frustration. Oh man, those Christians coming into our neighborhood, they're annoying. No, they're doing good things. There are portions of the Christian church in America that tend to dominate the headlines. And unfortunately, it's not always portrayed in good light. Some who are publicly professing Christians are often known more for what they are against rather than what they are for. The church's witness should not be known for being anti, but for being radically for. We're for healing. We're for justice. We're for mercy. We're for peace. We're for hope. We're for every person bearing the image of God more fully in their lives. That's the vision of what it means to be for others. So what could that mean for us here at WCF? What if we really believe that God was forming us to be a church for the sake of others here in Capitol Hill, here in Washington, D.C., in the DMV, and beyond? I want you to imagine walking through this neighborhood 5 years from now. It's 2030. After church, you might stop at Jacob's for a coffee and a bagel sandwich, or you go across the street to the music store, or maybe even pick up some wine for dinner at the liquor store. And the owner or the neighbors there say, "Oh, that church? Oh, you're from WCF? Oh, they helped my family when my wife was in the hospital." Maybe the single mom that came to the ice cream party, she mentions, "Oh, people from WCF have been teaching her kids how to read." Or that elderly man that you see on the porch in the neighborhood says, "Oh yeah, these church folks at WCF, they always stop and smile and say hi to me. They make me feel seen." I wonder if that's what WCF could be known for. Imagine city council members knowing WCF as advocates for affordable housing, not being the ones who talk about not in my backyard, opposing things. Imagine if our congregation was known at local charities and nonprofits like Little Lights or Migrant Solidarity and Mutual Aid as people who show up consistently, who are doing the unglamorous work, who stick around when the cameras leave and when viral moments go away. That's the legacy I long for. Not just inward health, we need that. Not just good doctrine, though we need that too, but outward blessing that makes people wonder, what kind of love could inspire this? We are not meant to be a church for ourselves. We are a church for others. So friends, let's bring this home, something you can do this week that will move you from hearing to this vision to living it. Here's the challenge. Complete the sentence I mentioned earlier. I mean, actually complete it. Because Jesus is forming me, I will blank for blank. Because Jesus is forming me, I will do this specific action for this specific person or this specific group of people. Because Jesus is forming me, I will do this for this person. Here's some examples to get your imagination going. Because Jesus is forming me, I will bring dinner twice for Sarah, who's caring for her mom with dementia. Because Jesus is forming me, I will spend 30 minutes every Tuesday to help Marcus with his homework. Because Jesus is forming me, I will walk the children of my undocumented neighbor to go to school because they're afraid of getting detained on the way. These aren't vague good intentions. It's not WCF is doing this. This is me doing something for others. Concrete, doable, perhaps even spirit-led. So take a moment, even now. Picture someone's face, someone's name that comes to mind, and think of one thing that you can do this week. Someone in your family who needs a little more patience. A coworker who seems lonely. A neighbor that you've never actually talked to. Someone in our congregation who needs an encouragement. Who's coming to mind? What can you do? Got it? Good. Go do it. This week, because talking about being formed for others means nothing if we don't actually live for others. Because here's the ultimate vision. The Apostle John sees a feast. Every tribe, every tongue at God's table, healed and made whole. In fact, another perfect example from our teaching hour, because Luke covered this in the teaching hour this morning. Every tribe and tongue at God's table, healed, made whole. That's the end of the story that we're living when we join with Jesus. So we can actually start setting the table now. Every act of service you do, every act of being for others is one more place that we can be setting for the coming feast of God. by completing that sentence, this week, Jesus is forming me, I will do this for this, you can be setting one more place at that table. You can participate in God's work of making all things new in this world. WCF, let's be formed together by Jesus for others. By God's grace, with God's help, by the Spirit's leading, we can do it. Amen.